Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we're back. It's the title of this article is Stupid Narcissistic Idiot. Watch Victor Davis Hanson shred California candidate for Governor Eric Swalwell. Now, U.S. Representative Eric Swalwell, a Democrat in California, is known basically for two things: his virulent hatred of and opposition to anything connected to President Donald Trump, and his relationship with Christine Fang, who has been described as both a Chinese spy and an intimate acquaintance of Swalwell. Her name is, they call her Fang Fang. Victor Davis Hanson, on the other hand, is acknowledged as a military historian, a conservative political commentator, an expert of modern and ancient warfare, and a professor emeritus of classics at California State University in Fresno. His writings have been in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, National Review, the Washington Times, and more. He's also the Martin and Ellie Anderson Senior Fellow in Classics and Military History at the Hoover Institution and visiting professor at Hillsdale College, and has been awarded part of my article got cut off. But anyhow, so when the one Hanson describes as the second Swalwell as a stupid, narcissistic idiot, many people take note, including Californians who are being asked by Swalwell to make him their governor. The comments are the hit. You know, this guy is, he's really got, you know, I'll say one thing. He has a love for himself. He loves to be, to act like he's working out. And I mean, he thinks he's just the most handsome guy in the world out there. I mean, he'll tell you that. But anyhow, his lawyers have sent a cease and desist letter to FBI Director Cash Patel demanding, well, let me back up. Okay. Who, when other people are named, FBI files have demanded the release, insist, in his case, that shouldn't happen. His lawyers have sent a cease and desist to FBI Director Cash Patel demanding that they agree in writing not to release the files about him. The congressman has never been accused of wrongdoing in the matter of your attempt to release the file, and it's a transparent attempt to smear him and undermine his campaign for governor of California. Lawyers Norm Eisen and Sean Hecker threatened your actions, threatening to expose you. Others at the FBI and the FBI itself to significantly legal liability. It was reported earlier that the FBI was working to release the investigation file about Swalwell and Fang Fang, who reports had allegedly sought to develop ties to politicians in California and elsewhere. Here are Hanson's comments about Swalwell before the latest dispute involving Swalwell's secret FBI file arose. Eric Swalwell wasn't the only one Fang Fang approached in California. He was just one. He was just one stupid enough to fall into that trap. I wrote some critical things of China, and Fang Fang came to see me. The way she changed accents and how she was dressed, you would have to be I'm going to leave that off there. Hanson described Swalwell wasn't the only target for Fang Fang. A commentary at Twitchy said, ever since Cash Patel announced that the FBI would be releasing files related to Swalwell's past inappropriate relationship with Chinese spy Fang Fang, and more importantly, his alleged leaking of classified information to her in return for campaign fundraising, the congressman and would-be California governor has been a nonstop damage control mode, not to mention full-on panic mode. The commentary also noted back in 2023, Swalwell urged us to trust the FBI when it comes to taking his word about having done nothing wrong with a Chinese spy. Last year, he said the American people deserve transparency, but this was about the Epstein files. When it comes to Fang Fang files, Swalwell doesn't seem to be such a big fan of transparency. There you go. You know, we have some very interesting, speaking of running for governor of California, making illegals great again. How much California spends on illegal aliens? A good article out of the Gateway Pundit. California is a sanctuary state that encourages illegal immigration with lavish benefits and spending programs. California is the home to an estimated 2.5 million illegal aliens, according to the Pew Research Center, the largest such population of any state between 2021 and 2023. Alone, the state's undocumented population grew by 400,000. The state also built the most generous benefits architecture for illegitimate immigrants in the country, including driver's license, college scholarships, low-income tax credits, pandemic cash aid, and comprehensive medical health coverage, according to CalMatters. In 2017, California enacted a sanctuary state law prohibiting most corporations between local law enforcement and federal immigration agents. One of the single largest expenses in health care, California has expanded Medi-Cal to illegal immigrants incrementally since 2016, covering children first, then young adults, then seniors, and finally adults ages 26 to 49. In January 2024, making it the first state to offer full-scope Medicaid to all income-eligible residents, regardless of immigration status. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, he's glad to give that to people that he's going to know that aren't citizens, but they'll vote for him. Anyway, approximately 1.6 million illegal immigrants are enrolled, representing about 5.3% of the total Medi-Cal enrollment. The program was originally projected to cost $3 billion per year. By 2024 and 25, the state was spending $9.5 billion, including $8.4 billion from the general fund alone. This represents 25% of all general fund spending on Medi-Cal. According to California Senate Republican Caucus, the average was driven by higher than anticipated enrollment when the state spending $2.7 billion more than budgeted on the immigration population alone, according to the California Department of Health Care Services. I'm going to stop right there. And are we ready to open the phone lines? Can I take some calls there? All right, we're going to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you have a question or a comment. Once great state has gone to hell. Trump endorses former Fox News host running for governor. President Donald Trump endorsed former Fox News host Steve Hilton in the California governor's race today, potentially impacting the GOP's chance in flipping the seat. Trump's endorsement may have killed Republicans' hopes of both Hilton and Republican Chad Bianco leading in the state's primary, edging out a split Democratic ticket from reaching the runoff, according to Politico. Trump's endorsement of Hilton, which he made on Truth Social Monday, is likely a death blow to Bianco's chances and the party's hope of evenly splitting the ticket. I think Bianco is a very conservative. I believe he's a sheriff out there. he goes on, and he says, I have known and respected Steve Hilton, who is running for governor of California for many years, Trump said. He's truly a fine man, one who has watched as the once great state has gone to hell. Gavin Newsom, and that's actually what it says here, Newsom, and the Democrats have done an absolutely horrendous job. People are fleeing, crime is increasing, and taxes are the highest of any state in the country, maybe the world. Steve can turn it around, and before it's too late. And as president, I will help him do so. With federal help and a great governor like Steve Hilton, California can become better than ever before. All right, that number is 888-677-9673. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call here. 888. You call anyhow, let me know that the phones are working, because sometimes I don't even know it, and they've managed to they're working? Okay. All righty. I just heard that the phones are working, so then you can call at 888-677-9673. Maybe my inflammatory rhetoric was a little bit, maybe it scared him out there. Maybe I scared him tonight. I don't know. It could be. Republicans in California intend to hold a convention this upcoming weekend on whether to endorse in the race, which appeared unlikely. Trump came out with the endorsement of Hilton. According to Politico, Hilton did not appear to want involvement in the Trump governor's race. The media obsession with the California Democrats' obsession with Trump doesn't do our state any favors. We have to focus on California issues, and that's what I'm doing, Hilton said. And so I'm going to stop right there and go to, is that Dennis or Denise? Dennis in Cleveland. Dennis, you're in the air.
Hi. You mentioned a couple times that you weren't sure about Trump's Christianity or what have you.
Well, no, Trump has made a profession of faith on several occasions. I've heard him do it myself, and I've talked to people that he's prayed with. But you know, that
there's a YouTube video with him. That it's called Donald Trump, but it's not spelled Trump. It's spelled Trumps with an S. Donald Trumps preaches Jesus. That's the title, a YouTube video. You might want to watch that.
Well, it's not that I'm doubting his salvation, but the thing of it is, when I'm not pleased with his language lately. Look, I understand the guy's got a lot of responsibility. He has to make very, very critical decisions, and he doesn't know who we can trust. And that's why we hold him up in prayer all the time. But he has to be above using that language. And my job, not only, people say, well, what gives you the right to tell the president? Not only do I have the right, I have the obligation as a pastor to tell him, thus saith the Lord God, and so does every real pastor out there, okay? And so, but anyhow, I mean, I supported Trump 110%, but he needs to clean up that language for sure and stay as far away from Paula White as he can stay.
Well, I do still think you would want to watch this video. It's short. It's only like 3.5 minutes. But the title of it, again, is Donald Trump's. And, again, it's got an S after his name, Trump.
Where can I find that?
On YouTube.
YouTube? Okay, I'll look for it.
Donald Trump's preaches Jesus. That's the title that you look up.
All righty.
But it's Trump's with Trump with an S. For some reason, they spelled it that way.
Do you want to just tell me about it?
No, I'd rather you watch it yourself. It's pretty good because he mentions Jesus quite a bit in there.
Yeah, I know. I've heard him do that. This is why I get all these people sending me emails and constantly trying to convince me that Trump is the Antichrist. There's nobody could do the things he does. He is not natural. It's not normal. He's he does things, and this whole thing is the false peace thing with Israel. No. The Antichrist cannot profess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He can't do that, okay? And I've heard Trump do it on many, many occasions. We're in a situation today, though, Dennis, where with AI out there, there's a lot of things out there that we can't tell anymore. It's getting hard to tell what's real and what's not.
Right.
And like today, I was laughing my head off because you had they had on there, and I mean, it looked real. I mean, you had Trump, you had the vice president, you had Marco Rubio and Pete Hegseth doing some kind of a strange a dance. I mean, these guys were doing like rap dancing and things. I mean, and it really did look real, okay? And I laughed my head off the way it was set up. It was funny. Then they got baby Trump. They got Trump as a baby out there arguing. Have you seen those?
Yes.
And some of them are, I mean, that are really, really funny. I mean, it is, but I mean, things can look so real. And we're concerned about, because now that they can do it with your voice, they can imitate your voice. It only takes 14 seconds to be able to learn how to do that, AI. And I'm concerned about them as they cut into this radio program, into me, cutting in and having me say something that I'm not saying. And that's, we're wondering how we can prepare for something like that.
Yeah, good question. Well, anyway, I just wanted to pass that on to you.
Well, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Sue.
Thanks for calling. All right. That number is 888-677-9673. What do you folks think about that? Okay. 888-677-9673. Today, President Trump holds press conference following the rescue of American pilots in Iran. 1 p.m. You're going to really want to listen to what we're going to play. I think that's, it's either the clip that I'm going to play. All right, let me see. What day am I going to play that? Is that today? Or that would be... No, that's Wednesday. That would be Wednesday at the 11 o'clock hour. I'm going to be playing a clip. You'll really want to hear it, okay? Because it's very, very powerful. It's about what the Democrats are supporting. You know, they always support the enemies of America, never us. And I remember very clearly, I was one of the ones when I came home, I didn't get spit on. There was a bunch of the Democrats, hippie types, in the airport, and they came up, and they, for some reason, they looked at me, and they decided not to spit at me, and they decided to turn around and go the other direction. And it worked out well for them, because it wouldn't have ended well for them. I wasn't in a good mood. Didn't like hippies. All right. The phone lines are open. Well, they were. It looks like they're ringing, but there's nobody up there. But don't worry. Josh is at the helm. Hopefully he'll... You know, like what Ross Perot used to say, the devil's in the details.
Yes.
Around here, the devil's in the equipment.
Yes.
Especially the phone lines. Do we have an actual caller? I think we might have an actual caller. Strange things are happening on the board, folks. It's acting very strange, and that's the way things happen around here. Anyhow... President Trump announced on Sunday that he would hold the news conference, and he did that today, but I didn't get a chance to see it with the military. We have rescued the seriously wounded and really brave F-15 crew member officer from deep inside the mountains of Iran, the president said, noting the Iranian forces were looking hard in big numbers and getting close. What do you think they'd have done if they would have found him? I'll go back to this. Let me go to Texas with Brian. Brian, you're in the air.
Hey, Pastor. Hi, good evening. I want to say God bless you, and I want to say the Lord is with you and giving you the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom to direct you to everybody listening out here across our great United States and our great state of Texas. And real quick, I was listening to you about this AI stuff, and I did see all the videos recently, those what we call fake articles and stuff. And did you catch, Pastor, where Kaiser Permanente nurses and the mental health workers are conducting strikes because their concerns with the company replacing human clinicians with artificial intelligence for patient triage and care? The workers argue that the AI is untried, reducing care quality and undermines professional nursing, demanding safeguards against technology and contract negotiations. And they are on strike. They did go on strike. And I was wondering, anybody out there listening, if they're familiar with this? And I believe that all workers out there need to stand up against this AI, Pastor, because even though that they're building these data centers that are heating up and burning up and costing millions and billions of gallons of water and electricity, that, you know, especially down here in Texas, with all these Californians fleeing that antichrist state that they live in, they've already messed it up so bad that they're fleeing, and all these states that are fleeing their these people that are fleeing their states that are leftist, why are they coming to Texas? Like I keep saying, why do they want to try to change our great state of Republican Texas when they left a state that's leftist, that is Democratic? But all workers out there do need to stand up against this AI, and just like these nurses are. And what do you think, Pastor?
Well, yeah, you're right. See, it's just like, you know, like radical Islam. Instead of staying, you know, in the radical Islam countries, they want to come here and they want to turn us. That, you know, that's their goal. And the Democrats, it's the same thing. They don't want to live in California because they can't afford it. It's too high. You have these Democrat politicians, some of these CEOs, these woke, they're moving out of California, but they bring with them their leftists, and we don't, you know, you're right. You don't want that leftist thing. And what they don't understand, when they bring their leftist ideas and their leftist mentality, they'll turn the state into what they were running away from.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking at here, Pastor. And, you know, growing up here in Dallas, Texas, in my home, I look at that, and your show walks the walk on this. It's like, okay, you're leaving that state or any other state that's messed up like California, and they drove that state pretty much south. And now that they're where they're at, I mean, we, Pastor, and everybody listening, I mean, really, we have gained more California companies than any state in the United States. And when you take one of the richest guys in the world, which is Elon Musk, a trillionaire now, he hit the trillionaire mark. This guy moved out of California. He moved his headquarters to Texas, man. What does that tell everybody? I mean, you need to really look at, reevaluate your state of mind with God, your perspectives on, you know, why you left where you came from, what caused it, and don't come to our state of Texas and with your antichrist evil direction. I mean, it's we don't want it. And like they say, our great governor says, don't mess with Texas. I mean, and don't bring your garbage and your trash here, because we don't want it, Pastor. And we don't want all the like you were talking about, the AI and the fake news. We don't, you know, we don't want all that fake news here, because we're true. We're true Texans, and we believe in our ways. And that's how we are here. And, Pastor, I want to say thank you. God bless you for taking my call. But everybody needs to stand up against this AI stuff, just like the Kaiser Permanente nurses are doing.
Well, I'm really you know, there's a big movement here in Ohio too. That's because they're building these big plants here in Ohio, and people are very, very concerned about, you know, the amount of energy it's going to take to run these plants, and you know, there's some very big concerns here in Ohio, and I think probably what people need to to think about is going back to the nuclear power plants. In fact, I think they're going to, they put one, a nuclear power plant that was taken off, that the Democrats had taken offline. They're putting it back online now just to power this, this whole power plant, just to power this one place, the AI building.
Well, I tell you, speaking about that topic, the administration we have in that right now, the Republican Party with Trump and his team, the world in the United States, whatever can say what they want about this administration. But I tell you what, they're doing things like the space program with NASA right now going to the Mars. They defunded it. The Democrats defunded this thing big time. And now we're going back to technology. We're going back to building ships again. Our shipyards are going to be back up and running. We're, our NASA program is going to be back up and running. We're going to be redoing energy, stuff that these leftist California-style people have, you know, ditched. And, I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. But we have an administration that's doing things that no administration has done, and that's why this country is being left behind and has been on track of not being able to keep up. Not that we aren't keeping up, we are, but with under the Trump administration, they're trying to stop every good thing that he's doing. They, all they look at is the, their Democratic ways, and once again, if California Democrats were so great, why is the biggest state, one of the biggest states in our country, all the companies are leaving?
Yeah. I mean, well, they're destroying it. I mean, they are totally destroying that. But there's something behind it. But I have to move on because we have other callers. But thanks for calling, Brian. Let's go out.
God bless.
God bless. Let's go out there to Minneapolis with Bob. Bob, you're in the air.
Hi there, Pastor. I was wondering if maybe you guys once in a while could devote a little time to talking about the big puppet masters. You know, all these years, all these decades, the Rockefeller brothers have been using guys like Kissinger and Scowcroft and Big New, and those are their henchmen. And like Zbigniew or whatever his name is, he's the guy that discovered Carter and actually taught him for years how to, he brought him along, made him, turned him in from an engineer into a possible presidential candidate. And Kissinger, he did the same thing with Nixon early on and another guy later. And Scowcroft, he was kind of like the hitman or whatever, you know.
Well, you're right, Gordon. Believe me,
the guys that are causing the trouble, along with the big shots over in Europe, you know, the black aristocracy, they call them. It's, I think it's about 13 families that are dedicated to Satan. And then there's the Pilgrim Society. And
that's why they tried to that's why they tried to kill Reagan. Remember, I remember very clearly because Reagan did not want Daddy Bush, George Sr., as his VP. He actually wanted Ford. And I remember they asked him before the meeting for all the big boys, that, you know, like you're talking about. And Reagan says, I'll tell you what, it won't be Bush. And Reagan went in there, but then he got overvoted or whatever. And, you know, and here he ended up with Daddy Bush and you know, and that's one of the reasons they try to kill Reagan, okay? But it's the same thing with JFK. He did not want to give in to the military-industrial complex, and he was not going to bow down to this New World Order, and that's why they killed him.
Well, he wanted to get rid of the Fed.
And that's why they want to get rid of Trump so bad, because Trump is not giving in to. Remember, he wanted to get rid of the CIA, and Reagan did too. And you know,
have you noticed that MBS has taken over a lot of world negotiations in the last few years? He's been meeting constantly with all the leaders of the different countries. And I think he is a good candidate for the Antichrist. There's a passage in the Bible somewhere. It has to do with Solomon's gift of gold from all his subjects, amounting to 666 talents of gold. And somewhere else in the Bible, someone says, well, the name of the, I think it's maybe John in Revelation, he says the name of the Antichrist is 666, something like that. And so that ties in with his name, which is Solomon in Arabic and Solomon in Judean. So,
well, that's the number of the beast, and that could have several applications there. Actually, where it comes to candidates for the Antichrist, the one that I see it as the most likely candidate was Barack Obama. His name is literally in Scripture. You know, there's just too many things about him. I mean, it's if you go to Isaiah 14, his name is in there, and Luke chapter 10. And here, the car he had built for himself special, he called it the Beast. And when he was elected, the lottery number on that day was 666. And guess what? His office, the zip code at his office ended at 666. With 60606. So, you know, three.
And then there's the prophecy in Nostradamus where he names the Antichrist as Mabus or Mabus. And that fits with the guy that's heading up the Palestine organization over there in Palestine, M. Abbas. So he's another candidate.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Bob. You're calling right okay. there from hardcore communist country. What's it like living in a
country? We just had a St. Paul mayor give all of his cronies big bonuses. And the Star Tribune newspaper up here said it was perfectly legal. he's no longer mayor. You know, he lost the last election. So before he leaves office, he's giving all these guys bonuses.
Yeah, he's buying some friends, huh?
Well, he's paying them back for, you know, favors.
Yep. So, all right. Well, thanks for calling. God bless.
Okay, good luck, you guys.
Good luck. We'll be back right after this.
A little girl lay dying. She was only 8 years old. She said, I want to see the preacher. So they left them. Will you make me a promise? She said as he walked in. He said, tell me what I can do. She said this to him.
Tell mom and dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell mom and dad about heaven above, heaven they can see me there. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, tell them all you've done for them. Tell mom and dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them.
She said, I know I'm dying. That's not why I'm sad. I know I'll go to heaven, but what about mom and dad? I told them about Jesus, but I could not make them see. So when they come to my funeral, would you do this for me?
see me there. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for them. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again.
She said they dropped me off at Sunday school, and I'm so glad they did. But how great it would have to be in a church service with them. She said, promise me you'll tell them. As she faded off to sleep, he said, sweetheart, don't worry. And that's a promise that I'll keep.
The pain that he had to bear. Tell Mom and Dad about heaven above. Tell them they can see me there. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for them. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again.
Folks, that's for real. Tell Mom and Dad, you know, that's what we're supposed to, it's called the Great Commission. The Great Commission. I know that one of the things that both myself and Pastor Hal, are constantly, and Lisa here, she knows, constantly reminding our people that those tracts don't belong on the tract table. They belong in the hands of unsaved people.
Right.
And it's a simple thing to hand out tracts. I do them every day. And a lot of times, you know, people are busy in this so-called world and they don't have time to talk and they don't realize, but you can, just by handing them a tract and say, when you get a chance, take a look at this. And you'd be surprised how many people have gone off and sat down in a place because they were having a lot of turmoil and doubt and pain in their life, and taken that tract, read it, and prayed and received Christ as a Savior. And let me tell you, that's what God has made you for. See, it works this way. You'll either be in obedience to the Lord and do the things, be you a doer of the word, not a hearer only, then that part about deceiving your own selves. And you'll either be a doer of the word, and you'll have all of eternity with crowns and glory, folks, to rejoice that you were a doer of the word, or you'll fail. Then you'll have all of eternity to wish that you had placed up more crowns in heaven. You know, that's just reality. I don't make this stuff up. I get it right from the Word of God. He literally spelled it out for us right in here. And he gave us this book. Phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. If you have a question or a comment, give me a call. I got about 6 or 7 more minutes where I can take calls at 888-677-9673. Iran rejects Pakistan brokered ceasefire, counters with 10-point list of demands. Trump responds. I would imagine his response. Okay. Here, Iran has officially rejected Pakistan's brokered ceasefire proposal and instead delivered a defiant 10-point counteroffer outlining sweeping demands to end the war. Iran transmitted its response to the United States through Pakistani intermediaries, dismissing calls for a temporary truce and insisting instead on a permanent end to the war on its own terms. I got a feeling I know how Trump's going to respond to that. he's going to respond to it with big, big bombs. That's how he's going to respond to it. According to Reuters, citing two sources familiar with the matter, both Washington and Tehran have now received a proposal which calls for immediate ceasefire, reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, and short window hammer out a permanent settlement. Pakistan's Army Chief Fred Marshall Allen Munner has repeatedly been in round-the-clock meetings with U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance, Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, and Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Argachi. The proposed agreement follows in a two-phase structure. Phase one, immediate ceasefire and reopening of the Strait of Hormuz. Two, 15 to 20 days of negotiations toward a broader peace. But the terror regime flat out rejected the idea. According to Reuters, Iranian officials outlined a 10-point correspondence that includes a full and permanent end to hostilities, lifting of economic sanctions crippling Iran's economy, establishing a new security framework in the region, guarantees for safe passage through the Strait of Hormuz, and reconstruction commitments following the conflict. I'm going to stop right there and go to Stephen. Stephen, you're in the air. Hello, Stephen. Are you there, Stephen? What happened to Stephen? Are you there, Stephen? Can you hear me?
Okay. So what I wanted to say, God's real. No question. You said something about Trump talking about Jesus, you know. I'm pretty sure he knows what's going on. From what I've studied about him, he spent a lot of time in a church in New York City when he was growing up. And he's a real upright guy. He would throw me out and say, don't come back. I drink and smoke, you know. But I read my Bible. I'll tell you what, God's real. Here's the deal. James chapter 3, it's our tongue that leads us into tomorrow. We speak today about what we want and come into our life. And people don't realize this. They sit around and say, oh, I'm broke, can't do this, ain't got a job. Boy, I'll tell you, that's all you're going to have. You know, you got to say, well, gee, God, sun came up this morning. God, thank you for another chance to get up and do it right. I'm going to go out the door today and get something done. Whatever it is, the opportunity's out there, and you have to talk about what you want. James chapter 3 talks about very specifically that our tongue is like the rudder on a ship. It's very small, but it controls the great big vessel. And what its destination is what we say. And we can very much control our reality by the words that we speak. And Romans chapter 8 will tell us that our spiritual sonship rights. We're adopted by Abraham. Abraham, we're children of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 8, God called the firmament heaven. So if we're in heaven, then in that book of Acts chapter 2, we received the Holy Spirit, then we have the power to do something. As James says, we can use the words to speak about our tomorrow and walk into it. We can create our real reality. And I have done an excellent job doing this. I really want to make a book called The School Hard Knock, because first day of school, I said, oh, I'm not doing this. Ain't got no toys here for me. So third grade, I failed that because a dyslexia got cross-eyed vision blank. I figured it out. If you just cover up one eye, the dyslexia goes away, and you can read without stuttering. So let's see if I can keep this going right. The next thing that we do is my wife says, we're going to Bible fellowship to get married. You know, we've got to have Jesus in our life. I said, okay. So we get to the Bible fellowship. I stop. I got my grandmother's Bible in my hand. Now, I had tried down in Texas when I was 13 years old. I brought that Bible back. So we're going to Bible fellowship. I grab it and go over there. Stop in the door. I said, well, if I'm going to read this Bible, I need a pilot's license. The next morning, I was on 19 left Dulles Airport in a Cessna 152 with my flight instructor, Dave Fraser. He flew for Eastern Airlines, Lockheed 1011. That's the plane with two engines, one on each wing and then the one in the tail. You remember that one?
Say that again a little slower.
Okay. I went to Bible fellowship at 5 o'clock on a Sunday. My wife said we were getting married. You know, we're going to go to Rave's family. We're going to do the Bible. I said okay. So I said to God, I need your pilot's license. I looked at my grandmother's Bible in my hand at the door going in. If I read this Bible, I need a pilot's license. So we go in there, and they say, Mr. Wilkinson, read Matthew chapter 1. Of course, they'd ask me to read, and I can't read. I got fall tail of third grade, walked away from ninth grade, went right in the machine shop. Woodson High School had vocational training. Anybody wants their children to know how to do something, go in Fairfax County, by live where Woodson High School is in your bus district. You pick your kids up and take them there. Every grade you can think of, they train right through there. So I went to the machine shop part. And so I get back to here, to the airport, 7 o'clock in the morning, the next day, Monday morning, I'm in the airplane with David Frazier from Eastern Airlines. He was an Eastern Airlines pilot. And I say he flew the Lockheed L-1011. It's out of service. That's out of service 40 years ago. And so anyway, this is really a great story, pal. So what happens, I end up on 19 left, taking off in a Cessna 152 with Dave Frazier. 52 weeks later, I took the exam for private pilots. Now, remember, I walked away from school. I got a 98 on the instrument exam. I got a 99 on the commercial exam. Okay, better than that, I wiped the airplane down. And so I got the commercial pilot certificate. And in 54 weeks, I was certified, FAA certified commercial pilot. Those scores, the guy looked at me kind of funny. How'd you do that? Well, I studied for 8-9 months, you know. And I didn't think about anything else. It was probably a big mistake to spend that much time studying. My wife was feeling pretty neglected, you know. Well, boy, when I got in the airplane, I started flying airplanes out to New Knoxville, Ohio. I was getting $200 a seat, and I was flying out there. I got 187 hours in 3 years. That's a lot of flying. And I'd fly the Christian people out there to the Bible Fellowship. So, funny enough, I at the Bible Fellowship, the guy says, oh, you need a job. So he comes to work over here at this company. So I go to work, and I end up building the IBM computer. Okay, isn't this fun? I end up building the IBM computer, and I'm, of course, not no high school education here. I am building the IBM computer. Well, one day I said, let me see the Boeing 747 flight manual. I look in the back of that. The artificial intelligence programming index is in there on how to do it. So I put that in the IBM machine, right? And then I left there in 1985. Went to Orrin Helmick in Berwick, Maryland.
Steven, I'm gonna have to cut you off because I'm running out of time, and I got to give an invitation. But listen, that was an interesting conversation.
Keys. I ended up. I would wipe the airplane down and clean it. They send me the keys. Well, I kept doing that. I had 13 airplanes. I was flying my own private airline, flying people to Bible Fellowship. I'm telling you, God's real, man.
All right. Yeah, I know He's real. Believe me. We know He's real. Thanks. Alrighty. Speaking of God's real, folks, listen, I know a lot of people out there, they think, well, you know, like Nietzsche said, we have technology now, and with our technology, you know, since God created man in His image, now with through technology, man's going to return a favor. God's going to be what we say He is. There's a mindset. And we're going to create God through AI. In fact, they've actually got AI churches now out there. But folks, I'm going to tell you, AI doesn't come even close to UI, unlimited intelligence. See, God's intelligence is unlimited. AI's intelligence is not. God doesn't need huge, huge, huge plants that to create power, electrical power. God doesn't need that. God's intelligence is unlimited. And when it says God who cannot lie, the reason God cannot lie is what when He says something, it becomes. He speaks things. He speaks the entire universe was spoken into existence. You say, well, I don't know if I can believe that. Well, it doesn't matter what you believe, because you will believe. You will. There's no chance that you won't. Every word that proceeded from the mouth of God, okay? God's got a 100% record of being 100% accurate. And for those of us that have studied a lot of history over the years, that have taken the time and been around. By the way, all of your great scientific minds, your great scientists, all believe in many of them might not call him God, but they believe in the ultimate intelligence, that the ultimate creator out there, okay? But anyhow, I said all that to say this. God has made it very clear. And as we talked about here, the title of my message this week, it says that he paid a debt that he didn't know for people that owed a debt that they could never pay. And that was the sin debt. Jesus Christ paid the sin debt for us. He didn't have to do that. But folks, it's only a matter if you receive it. If you don't receive what he did, things are not going to end well for you. And the Lord Jesus made it very simple. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. In just a couple of minutes, I'm going to say a sinner's prayer. And I'll say it in such a cadence that you can repeat it after me. I didn't hear that. Okay. Here it is. Heavenly Father, folks, you just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you a sinner. According to thy perfect word, I deserve hellfire. But Father God, you so loved the world that you placed your only begotten Son upon a cross. He suffered like no man suffered. He paid the price, what you required to be an atonement for sin. He did what only he could do. He didn't have to, but he did. So right now, Father God, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to be the Lord of my life, all of my life, without any reservations at all. And right now, I'm becoming a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, a child of God. And I'll and being dwelt with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come dwell within me, Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. If you said that prayer, that's the most important thing you've ever done. Well, we're out of time for tonight, so I want to say to all of you out there, thanks for being here. Good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
And as we always say, keep fighting the fight.
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 Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left. Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.